Holly Cotton here, and you guys know I always talk about women empowerment, but also we are actually in May. I don't know if this video will air in May or June, but right now it's May, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I definitely want to, especially with my initiative for adolescent mental health this year, get as much mental health as we can, because everyone has a different genre of mental health that they're looking for and that they need help with. So I have Miss Cody Rowden today, who is the founder of Cocoa Cherie Collection, and she's going to tell us about her, I guess, I don't want to say adversity, but you know, it's almost like that. It was, you had a child that, like we're talking about today, autism awareness, and how that affects mental health, not only for the child, but also for the caretaker, because it's very, very draining, and you have to find healthy ways to also be able to keep your own mental health when you're dealing with a chronically ill or a IDD, intellectual developmentally delayed child. So yeah. Welcome, Miss Cody.
Thank you so much, Miss Holly, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. And yes, like you stated, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. We're coming off of April, which was Autism Awareness Month. So I felt like it would be a good time to really just do something for the moms out there who have that full-time, I don't want to call it job, because this is, you know, we're mothers, this is what we do. But, you know, raising a child on the spectrum, it can be a lot of challenging times, a lot of anxious nights, a lot of just challenges in general. So I felt like doing something to recognize them could maybe just empower them and just give them a little joy, you know? So that's the current initiative that we're working on at Cocoa Cherie Collection.
Okay, got it. Well, I'm gonna tell you, Cody, being a parent is a job. I don't care what nobody says. It is the worst job I ever signed up for, because I don't get any benefits, no time off, no sick leave, no nothing. It is a job. I keep telling my kids all the time, at what point are you grown where you don't need me to intervene in your life? Because I didn't sign up for a lifelong job. I thought I was about to retire when they get grown. So I'm going to say it for the people in the back. It is a job, and it is a very unrewarding job a lot of times, because we get so drained, especially like we're going to talk about today with having an autistic child, because you really don't have time to focus on the things that you need to focus, because this child is taken care of, needs to be taken care of all the time. And not only that, but depending on where they fall on the spectrum, you're talking about lifelong parenting. At least me, having kids that are independent and don't have any type of delays, at some point I'm saying, you can go and get married and do stuff. And there are some autistic kids that will never be able to be functioning in the real world adults. So yes, first of all, can you tell us, have a transparent moment and be as detailed as you want or as vague as you want, and just tell us about your baby and your journey with having an autistic child.
Yeah, no, thank you. So I have two boys. My oldest son is a traditional, thriving young man, just turned 9 the other day. And then my youngest is 7. No, he'll be 7 in July, right? And it's been a roller coaster. You know, during the pandemic, like the fall of 2020, my sister she had a home-based daycare, and she was his caregiver while I worked from home, you know. And she had told me a couple of times, and she has a master's degree in education, early childhood education. And she said to me, sis, I think you might need to get him evaluated, because he wasn't taking naps. He wasn't really following instructions, but then he was able to like read and do math and like stuff like that, you know. So, you know, getting the diagnosis, you know, I still remember like on the Zoom, because you got to think back, we were in the pandemic. So it was a telehealth appointment. And when we were finished with the assessment, they said, yes, you know, he has autism. And I just remember just sobbing, because it's just like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. I barely got this mother thing down. Now I got a child on the spectrum. Hello. So, you know, that was tough. And for a while, I would consider him to have been nonverbal. But the good thing is, when they gave us that diagnosis, they told us you need to get them an ABA therapy, which is, I think is, I know the B in ABA stands for behavioral, but it pretty much just teaches them, you know, a little bit of independence and behaviors and stuff like that, like how to redirect them if they're having a tantrum, or, and even teaching them simple things like using their words, being verbal, or toileting and things like that. So after doing the research, we put him in an ABA facility, and about after a month, he went from nonverbal to verbal. So I was like, okay, thank you, God, this is working, you know. But no one told you about the potential regressions that can take place, because now here he is ready for kindergarten, and we're thinking the public school system, he should be fine. We'll just put him in a special education class. When I say he regressed big time, it was like very stressful, you know. So I then learned like ABA should be an ongoing thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I've dealt with it all, Holly. Like he used to dart in the middle of the street. I used to have to chase after him. Having complete meltdowns in the store. Thank God for online ordering options. I can't imagine what life would be if I just had to always go to the store. Because sometimes when he's in the store, he just wants to grab everything. And you would think as a parent, it's like, you just tell him no. No. If you tell him no, it's turning into a meltdown. Wow. You know? It's been situations where I've been driving and he hopping in the front seat, passenger seat while I'm driving on the highway, or hopping the trunk, you know? So a lot of behaviors and a lot of uncertainties that I wasn't equipped to handle. And a lot of times you feel lonely, but to understand that there's a whole community of women going through the same thing, you know, that was powerful to me. And I feel like, man, how can I help others, you know, through that? Like, you know, build a sense of community. So this giveaway is one of the many things that I plan to do over time, but this is just, you know, just a start. So,
well, we're gonna get to the giveaway next question, but I wanted to also say, because, you know, my platform is, I definitely try to sort of extract certain things from people that have inspiring stories or that have overcome some type of adversity, an obstacle, whatever it is that is one of those feel good stories. So I like to pull something out of those stories. So There are parents that are probably watching or listening, and they may think that their child is autistic or something is not right. So I know you kind of just went over it briefly, but can you give us some of the specific things that you really were saying, these are not normal signs, or whenever you're now in that autistic community, what are some of the common traits that some of the other students you're seeing, like, oh, wow, that's mine doesn't have that, but I didn't know that was a symptom also.
That's really good. So I think like in the current phase, like where I am, you know, I have been blessed to make connections with other moms that have children on the spectrum. And I learned that like we all have our own individual story. When they say that spectrum is why, it's really why, you know. You know, you'll have high functioning. In my case, my son is high functioning, right? But he still want to wear a pull up. He's 6. He'll be 7 in July. He is more than capable of going to the restroom, but it's a sensory issue too. So he has to, you know. But then I have other friends who their child, you know, they'll have normal speech, and then all of a sudden they decide they don't want to talk anymore. And it's really just a choice. It's really just how they're feeling, you know. So I think everybody just has their own story. I know one young lady of mine, or a friend of mine, actually, her son is in the process of getting tested. And I remember one of the things she said to me, she said, you know, the daycare is calling me every day because he's not taking a nap. He's running around. And I think back to when my son was that age. And that was one of the things my sister said, he wouldn't take a nap. And now he's running around bothering all the other kids, getting them up. So that's why the daycare calling, like, you got to come get your child, you know. So, you know, it could just be different things. I would say in my case, having another child prior to that was only 2 years older, it was a little bit more fresher for me to understand what milestones we weren't hitting, right? But then I also said to myself, he's his own child. So, you know, he's a different individual than the oldest. So he might just be a little delayed, but it wasn't that progression wasn't picking up. So I think my message to moms and parents is like, go with your gut. It actually, you know, it doesn't hurt to get it tested, get them tested, and early intervention is best, because a lot of times if you get that early intervention, by the time they're going to school or hitting high school, they're high functioning and can go on to be independent, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I'm a nurse, and I still, even though I have all this other stuff that I do, I still have my registered nurse license, and I mean, I've been a nurse my whole life, so I've seen all of this before people even knew what autism was, or they knew that there was a spectrum. It wasn't a this or a that. Everything was definitive, and then you just keep seeing all of these new diagnoses, and then you're like, oh, this and that. And one of the things that I always felt the worst about whenever I would see a patient, especially a pediatric patient, was those meltdowns, because I was like, Lord, thank you. You knew who to bless with, because I don't know how, like, the meltdown part, because people don't realize it. And then not only that, but the patrons in the store or wherever you are, they're looking at you as if you're a bad parent. Why can't you shut your kid up? Why can't you, you know, console your kid? What is going on? So I know that's hard right there. And then you're like, well, I don't know what to do either. You know,
no, that's
an idea.
That is so real. Like, being like just how you said that same comment of God knew who to, I sometimes say, God, you think very highly of me, because I'm over here struggling, you know. But yeah, and then another thing too is, unfortunately, like, I'm kind of embarrassed to proclaim this out loud, but I'll say it. Like, that's one of the reasons why I don't really go to church like I used to, because my kid wasn't capable of just sitting down and listening to service. Like, he want to be on YouTube, and then he'd be like, if he gets bored, I want McDonald's. Like, he doesn't know, he doesn't understand the norms of what to do in church. And then sometimes I don't trust putting them in just children's church, because a lot of times those are volunteers and they don't have the bandwidth to, you know, handle a child like mine. So,
well, yeah. In defense, coming from somebody who's Southern Baptist, whose mama had us at a revival from Wednesday to Sunday, I'm also like, golly, how much more church we need? When is nobody else give a testimony? I'm telling you, don't nobody, you know. So I can only imagine the challenging part of that, because just as a normal, high functioning person, a lot of things can also be, I guess, tedious for us. Mm-hmm. So before I move on to the next question about having your professional life versus having the home life, family balance, I wanted to ask you, is there any advice that you have gotten from a mother of an autistic child, from someone, whether it be from therapy or another parent, is there some advice that you receive that you wish you would have known at the beginning, or something that you would like to tell other parents who have kids that are recently diagnosed with autism or on the spectrum?
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I would say the biggest advice is, it's like top two. One, self-care, right? You gotta make sure you're taking time for you, and you gotta figure out what works for you, whether it be meditation, going to get a massage, just kind of getting away. And I know sometimes mothers don't have, you know, caregivers or respite care, which is a big problem overall, like, that I would want to help with as well. Like, finding the agencies that will provide care, respite care to parents like myself. But self-care definitely is a big thing, because if you burn out, your children are dependent on you. So you gotta, you know, do your part to love on yourself, right? And then another one more so recently was, like, as we navigate through these IEP programs, through the school district, having a child on autism spectrum, is really looking into an advocate, an autism or an IEP advocate, who can really sit down and talk with the school, the diagnostician, the child psychologist, and really come up with a plan. Because a lot of times parents are navigating that, not understanding it, and then they're just agreeing to something that they don't even realize they're holding their child back. And when their child is more than capable of doing other things, also not realizing that it's the law that in some ways the school system has to accommodate your child, right? So that's a big piece of advice. Like I say to women, like, definitely look into an advocate as you navigate that IEP program or system.
Okay. Great advice. Yeah. Cause they don't even know, or the school may be, like you said, holding them back and you don't even know, cause they might not have the time or they don't feel like it or
whatever. Right. Cause that's what it boiled down to, is like does the teacher even have the bandwidth or even the mood to put up, you know,
we gonna be transparent here, Cody. We know. That's why I'm not a teacher, because that ain't my
me too.
I know my weakness. There are certain things.
But you know what? And that's why, because it's actually Teachers Appreciation Week. When I say I show out for the teachers every year, because I know that they have a hard job, and a lot of times I don't think they're paid enough anyway. So I really try to love on the teachers, you know, because it's not an easy job at all.
At all. I was a high school nurse, and I did a high school stint, and I was a high school nurse for a year. Mm-hmm. I think a year and a half, because I did one full year and I tried to go back the next year. I was like, you know what? This is the worst job. And everyone thinks because you're off in the summer and you get holidays off. I'm like, I was responsible for 3,400 students that were coming in there with seizures and everything. Mm-hmm. One nurse for all of the school. That is ridiculous.
Wow.
So, anyway, I digress. Got out of that. But so let's move on to some of the actual questions about you and some of the question talking points that I want to actually go into. And let's talk about the intersection of personal challenges and professional aspirations. Mm. And what I want to, I guess, sort of elaborate on is, because we all have these personal lives in this entrepreneurial world, and we have all of these things that we're doing. I'm sorry, not entrepreneur. We business side, mm-hmm. which is our professional side, which is where we're entrepreneurs, business owners, doing all of this. And then we have a personal side where we have needs. We have our hierarchy of needs that we need too, because we also need love and all of that. So as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, it seems like this professional side consumes you so much more, because at least when you work for a corporation, you can take a sick day while your kid is at school, or, you know, like you can take a vacation or you can do stuff. You get compensated, you get benefits, there's all of these things. But whenever you're a business owner or you're trying to start and grow a business, ain't no help. There's no reprieve. There's nothing. If you're not out there making your business make money, you're not going to make money. So now that you have these two roles, with being a, like you said, now you have a child that's requiring a little bit more of your effort. I say little lightly, because we know it's way more. But yeah. Now you're here and you have this intersection and you're saying, okay, so how do you make the decision every day? How do you balance being Coco Cherie Collection and mom?
Oh, that's a good one, Holly.
I try.
That's a good one. I mean, listen, it's a tango. It's like you got to figure it out. Or like my therapist, one of the most fascinating things she told me is like, it's like cooking. What's boiling and what's simmering? It's just about coming down to the very hour. What is priority, right? And then to even add a little level of transparency, up until about a month ago, I was working full time as well in tech, and then I got laid off. So, you know, and a lot of times, you know, it was a juggle of my full time job, still want to make Coco Cherie thrive, and then having my children, right? So yeah, it really just came down to what's boiling. You try not to allow certain things to get to a boil, but the way life works and the way you only have 24 hours in a day, you know, you just got to kind of designate what's going on, like what's priority. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. You know, every day is something I'm trying to be better at it and work towards it, or, you know, work towards getting better. I would say that leaning on your village helps a lot too. I by the grace of God, I have a strong network of girlfriends and even my biological sisters who are both out of state. Like, you know, so I lean on my village. And that's hard for me at times, because I am that girl who wants to do everything by myself. I'm independent, strong Black woman, blah, 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 you know. So leaning on your village, asking them, hey, can you step in and watch my Mackie? Because his name is Mac. for a couple of hours so I could probably take my oldest out, or we could do something, or if I could just get away, you know. So, I mean, really, Holly, it's just more so just taking it one day at a time. And sometimes things have to fall by the wayside. And sometimes that's even the business, right? But I've made a conscious effort to really just continue to put my time into it. And who knows, like, with everything happening with the layoff, like, this, maybe this is what God want me to do, you know? So, and another thing I struggle with too is fear of failure, or, you know, and one of the things that resonates with me, like, I read Joyce Meyer's daily devotionals, and she pretty much just said, it's not going to go away. So you have to still do what you need to do while being scared. And I was like, man, she said a word. So that helps me too. Like, you know, even the uncertainties with my son, you know, you got to still proceed, even if you're fearful. So
that's great advice. And then what I always add to that as well as mothers, daddies too, I guess, but you know, I'm speaking from the mama side, because let's be honest, we do a lot more. If you're looking at the percentages, women usually take a lot more. But anyway, so don't come for me about not representing for the men. But the biggest thing I know myself that I struggle with as a mom, and still being a mom, even though my kids are adult kids, is forgiving yourself for not being perfect and forgiving yourself for certain things. Because it's so hard when you go back and like, wow, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I could have did this, or I wish I could, you know. That's the biggest part. And I've tried as well, even now with my book series I have, which is my affirmation anthems for teens and adolescents. So I'm talking to all of these kids about mental health and loving themselves. And I had to go have a powwow with my kids. And I was like, listen, I'm sorry, I couldn't give you what you guys needed, but now I'm going to make it my mission to make sure I give other kids what they need, because their parents may not know. I was worried about being a mom by myself. And are my lights going to get turned off? How am I going to pay these bills? Or what are we going to do? How, you know, all of that. So you're a provider. You don't have time to really see. And so it's a lot of forgiveness that we have to do, because we don't give ourselves grace at all. So,
I think we are really hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing my therapist threw out at me one time. She said, if one of your best friends sat up here and told you everything she has to do in a day, pretty much regurgitating what you have to do, Cody, in a day, you would be singing her praises like, you go, girl, you powerful, you strong. She said, why aren't you doing that for yourself? Mm-hmm. You know? And I thought about that. Like, we do have to give ourselves grace. We handle a lot. We juggle a lot. So, yeah, I agree.
Well, they know we be up here make people catch the Holy Ghost, but we gonna move on. All right, so let's talk about the event that you're doing, because, all right, let's talk about Cody now. She was laid off. She has a kid on the spectrum. She has this. Now she has Coco Cherie. Now she's doing all of this, and now she's like, you know what? And in addition to that, I want to give back.
Yes.
So, let's talk about the give back.
Yeah. So, I've always been a generous person. Like, I'm a giver. It just warms my heart. I love blessing people. Right. So to kind of just step back, like, Coco Cherie, you know, I started the business probably about 6 months after losing one of my closest friends, who her son is on the spectrum, but he was extreme, like, so not high functioning, like the opposite, where he needed full-time care, nonverbal, things like that. And that kind of started her depression. And then eventually, you know, she ended up passing away, you know, but that really tore me up. And I remember feeling like, man, life is so short and your circumstances can change at any point. Like, I'm going to live life to the fullest, and I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for years, which was get into the fashion game. Right. So then in the process, shortly after my own son being diagnosed with autism, you know, I was just like, man, you know, I just want to give back to women, you know, who may be going through the same things as me, and let them know, like, I see you and I understand. So this whole mom giveaway, the Awesome Mom giveaway is what I call it. And I spell awesome like autism. So AUSOME. it's just to give a little, give them a little love and light, because their days are not easy, right? So yeah, just want to get, you know, take the opportunity to bless a fellow mom. It's probably going to be a couple, because that's how I operate. I know I said one, but it'll probably be multiple, you know.
Well, I was a giveaway, like, what are you doing? Oh, I don't mean to put my knee all in the camera, sorry y'all, but I had to cross my leg real quick. I'm getting old. I had to, one hip was, I was on it for too long. So what exactly is, like, tell me the specifics of the event, the giveaway. What is it that you're actually giving away? How are you structuring that? How are you picking people? Tell me about the specifics of it as well.
Absolutely. So right now there is it's an online application that literally takes like 3 to 5 minutes. You can either fill it out for yourself as a fellow awesome mom, or you could nominate like a friend or a girlfriend you see out here killing the game, right? And then from there, like I have assembled a committee of people to actually go through the nominations and everything. So not just myself, because honestly, Holly, if it was up to me, I'd probably try to give everybody something, right? So we got to pick a couple, and then our committee will go through and decide who will be like the finalists or the winners. And then from there, we'll contact them, and then we'll just do a personal styling session. It's not limited to people within the Houston, Texas area. Like, it could be anywhere in the country, right? So because my my boutique is based online, so, you know, I would kind of help facilitate the shopping experience and like style them in the process as well. So so it's not a physical event. It's just more of an initiative we're going to be doing all month long, probably until about early June, and then we'll start with the giveaway and everything. So
okay, perfect. Okay, so how can people find you, like, subscribe, and is there any way that people can support you in what you're doing or with the give back? Is there also an option for someone who's like, hey, I'm not in of that category of moms that you're looking for, but I would love to help some kind of way too. Is there a way other people can also help?
That's amazing. Thank you for asking that. So you know what? It will be that same form. Will have a area where if somebody just wants to help, right, or partner. Because I even wanted to do it elaborate, like, you know, maybe get their makeup done or other things. Maybe sponsor a night out where the kids can go. There are some special needs specific gyms where kids can go to, you know. So, but yes, the form will also contain an area for people who just want to help, and then I'll be in contact with them. And then there was another question.
Yeah. And then how can people find you? Like, what's the website, the email, whatever, the linky, I don't know, MySpace, whatever.
I love it. So my website is shopcococherie.com. That's shopkokocherie.com. And then on Instagram, it's shopcococherie. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, shopcococherie. So there is a link on my website that you could click on to get to the application. And then there's links in my bio of both my Facebook and Instagram, where you just click on the link tree and you'll see the nomination form there as well. So,
all right. Perfect. And you guys know I always say that I will also have clickable links in the podcast notes. If you scroll to the podcast notes, you'll see that I'll have all of her Instagram, social media, website, all of that information in the podcast notes as well. So thank you so much, Cody, for sharing your story, and thank you for what you're doing. I know it's hard sometimes whenever you're going through something to also be a beacon of light to other people, because you're just trying to figure out how to not drown yourself. So it's very commendable, and that's why I wanted to share your story, because I love what you're doing, and I wish I could give you some advice, but I can't. other than keep winning, boo. Keep winning. So
thank you so much. And I'll be in touch with you, because of course I have to send you a nice cute look from the boutique. So I'll get with you to get your sizes and everything. But yes, no, thank you so much for the opportunity and the platform. So